there's some of us here who grew up in a church that was a little bit different than it is today. The church dealt more with law, judgment. It was not quite as kind and merciful and gentle as it is today. But we learned to live with that, figuring that for some reason or other, the church had evolved to that point at that time in history. And I guess we would have to do some research to figure out what brought us to that. But with St. John the 23rd, when he was called in the second Vatican Council, he said in his opening remarks that he wanted the church to be a merciful church, like Christ himself was merciful. And that it was more important that we look at the mercy of God than at the judgment, or to using the law as a judgment against us. So when Pope Francis introduced this year of mercy, he once again quoting the same type of message. We need a church of mercy. That's what Christ came to this world to show us, what he was to us. And he said, we need to have a year when we can see Christ, Jesus Christ, as a face of mercy, not only in our church, but in our world. So he strongly, in this year of mercy, he strongly recommends that we all begin to look at that. Because sometimes if we've grown up in a different era of the church, we still think that it's pretty important for us to be kind of judgmental. They didn't observe the law, and we kind of forget about what Christ really taught. It's mercy I desire, not sacrifice. So it's very important for us to think about that. In the gospel story today, people are very quick to judge, you know. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they're trying to trap Jesus because he's teaching things that they think are contrary to the law. And what Jesus is trying to teach them is that the law was made to help people, not to condemn them. And so when they bring this person, this lady before him, and said that she was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses said that she should be stoned to death. So they bring her there and said to Jesus, so what should we do? Well, I think he handled it extremely well. He wasn't going to be trapped by them, because if he said she should be condemned to death, then the Romans would have a fit, because they were the only ones that felt, as rulers of the land, that they had a right to condemn anybody to death. And if he said, well, we're not going to observe the law of Moses, then they would say that he's a fake, he's a phony, he's not standing up for the values that he's supposed to be standing for. So what does Jesus do? He just stoops down, starts scratching in the dirt. And then he looks up. They keep questioning him. So he just looks at them. He says, the one without sin, throw the first stone. And then he went down to just doodling in the dirt again. Pretty soon they all walked away. But you know what? The amazing thing is, how quickly people were willing to get into this. They probably had the rocks in their hands already, ready to start firing as soon as he said, okay. But how quickly we get into that judgment. How quickly we're ready to condemn somebody. You know, we're all sinners. Everybody knows this, if we're honest, that we all mess up somewhere along the way, some more seriously than others, you know, but that's nobody's business, really, except between the person and their God, and eventually the ones that they offend. So, but how quick we are to do that same type of thing. Maybe we're not going to throw rocks at an adulteress, but we're very quick to jump into conversations that are judging or assassinating characters or trying to hurt people's reputations or the quality of who they are, or whatever it may be, how quick we are to jump into that kind of a conversation. and add our little choice morsels to what's already being said. How quick we are to say when somebody has messed up, and everybody in town knows that they messed up, when they repent and they come back to the community and try to pray with the community, how quickly we look at that and we don't remember any good that they did before. All we remember is that they really messed up. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in a small town. There was only one divorced person in the town at that time. This is a long time ago. Long time ago. But anyway, it was always interesting to me as a kid that everybody in town knew who she was because she was divorced. They didn't know her name, they just knew she was divorced. And you kind of figure in a small community like that, you would think that they would say, that's her history, it's past. She's taking care of herself, she's living her life, she's raising her children, she's doing all the right stuff. But no, that's that lady's divorced. And how often we do that? Say like, if somebody from your family maybe gets into drugs, and maybe they struggle more than you can ever imagine to get off of it. And maybe when they finally feel that they're clean, they feel that they can come to the community and be a part of that community again, which really should help support them and strengthen them. But how many times they come and feel, oh, what's he doing here? Been brown around here for a long time. Oh, who's he, what's he up to now? What's he, how long is this gonna last? Rather than supporting people, how quick we are to join in the judgment of them. Always ready to condemn, always ready to throw the rocks. So begin to understand why our recent popes have focused so much on the mercy of God. Look at the mercy of God. That's what Christ came to teach. He came to teach us about a God who loves us, a God who would allow his son to die for us because he wants us to be with him always. You would think that we would really, in goodness and mercy and forgiveness, reach out and embrace anybody who is willing to commit themselves to that Christ. But just take a look sometimes at your own family, situations that maybe somebody did something really stupid, or maybe it was dumb, or maybe it was reckless, or whatever it was, maybe it embarrassed the family. So do we hold that over the heads the rest of their lives so that anytime anything goes wrong, we remind them, you really messed up? Is that going to help anybody? Would you want to be around that? Would you like to be the victim? Would you like to be the one who is being accused? Or the one that everybody's pointing at and said, oh yeah, when he was 13 years old, he messed up. And he's 55 now, and everybody, that's all anybody remembers about him, is that he messed up. That he caused an accident, or he caused this, or did that, or that he stole a pack of cigarettes, whatever it may be. But we do that to people. We're supposed to be the mercy of God in this world. We are supposed to imitate Christ and his mercy. I mean, when you go to the box or the confessional, or when you kneel in the church, when you pray at home, wherever you may be in this world, if you ask God, I really messed up, forgive me, he will. He forgives you. But he said, I expect you to do that for other people. Now, when everybody walked away and left Jesus with this adulteress, she looks up and she said, Jesus said, did no one condemn you? And she said, no one. And Jesus said to her, nor do I. But do not sin anymore. mean, he expects something of us. He expects us to, you know, to make some changes. But he doesn't condemn. He forgives. And then he said, just don't do it again. That's what we're supposed to be about as Christians. If we're supposed to put on Christ, the Pope has called on us to put on is the Father of mercy. The one who is willing to forgive, to get it out of their minds, to welcome, to kind of give people hope and opportunity that because you made one mistake in your lifetime, that you don't have to bear the consequences forever and ever. He said, I do not condemn you, but don't do it again. Sin no more. It's nice to see all the confirmation kids here today. And you know, I think you are very, very fortunate. At the time you are in the church, you are the church. I think this is an extremely important time because you can grow up in this time when the emphasis is on the mercy and the love, the hope, the goodness of our Lord. When you can look at Christ and say, he's not a Christ who's waiting to zap me or condemn me. He's a Christ, a Savior, who came because he loves me and he forgives me. And he wants me to bring that to this world. When you receive the sacrament of confirmation, you are commissioned by the Spirit of God to carry on the mission of the church in this world. And he's commissioning you this year to be apostles of mercy. So you have something very specific that you can look at about Christ and his church and realize that you, as the church, take on responsibility to bring that to our world. St. Paul, when he was called, he said, when he got to know Christ and who Christ was, he said, he began to understand that there's nothing else in the world that really matters. I mean, he had all kinds of stuff that he took care of. He did marvelous, wrote marvelous things, preached beautiful sermons. He did all this wonderful stuff, carrying out the mission of Christ in his world, in this world. But his whole focus was always on the most important is that I love my Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all else without Christ is so much rubbish. So that's going to be important for you too, that to make sure that you keep your priorities. And so when you're confirmed and the Spirit of God says to you, I want you to be in the church, an apostle of mercy, then somehow we have to take that on as a responsibility that he gives to us. And that it means in our own personal lives that we have to try to know him, what he means, how he expressed himself, how he lived that message of mercy to other people. So congratulations to all of you, and I know you still have time to prepare, but it's just nice to have you here tonight to begin to think about that, that you are going to be church as much as all the rest of us are church. And that with that responsibility, there are obligations that you have to God and that the Spirit of God gives to you to carry on his mission in this world. We are privileged that we have a year of mercy. It makes us really begin to think in ways that we haven't thought for a long, long time. And the Holy Father gives us example after example, say like going to prisons, going to shelters, going to all kinds of places to take care of people who are frequently abandoned, given up as hopeless. And he goes there like on Holy Thursday and washes their feet. It's quite an example for all of us. We are all called to be apostles of mercy in this world, and that we see in others the face of Jesus Christ.